Hey everyone, Pastor Amanda here. I just wanted to thank you for joining us today. I pray the Word of God comes alive in your heart like never before as you listen. And then if you'd like to support the ministry of the Branch Church so that we can continue to connect those far from God to the life-giving vine of Jesus Christ, you can do so at branch.church/give. Now, let's get to the message.
Okay, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Luke, chapter 24. And while you're turning there, we're going to give the Word of God some extra honor today. So jump to your feet. We're only going to hit a couple verses. Jump to your feet. We're going to read the Word of God together. Luke 24. Luke 24. Starting in the bottom half of verse 5. Where'd I go? Oh, I'm not even on the right page. There we go. Oh, yes, I am. There I am. Y'all ready to go to work?
Yeah.
Why? Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? If you don't know the backstory, that's kind of a really stupid question. But we know what just happened. Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead.
Come on now.
It's just that easy. If you know what has happened, because I think it's been said at least 3 times today, can you just give God a little bit of praise?
Come on now.
Okay, this side. I'm so excited. I'm going to pray, and we're going to really dig in. Father, I love you. Jesus, thank you for willingly giving yourself for us. God, thank you for sending your son to do the things that it's impossible for us to do. There's no way. But Jesus, you willingly did it. You laid down your lives. You took it back up again. And then offered us life. Father, I love you. And I thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. High five someone and say, he's alive. And then sit down. No high five, can't sit down. Come on. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Y'all, this right here is the moment our lives and the entire world changed. This moment. If you don't believe me, look at your watch. Somebody tell me what today's date is.
March 20.
Mm-hmm. What was zero? You don't get to come back from the dead without leaving a mark on the world, okay?
Hey, that's good.
That's all I'm trying to say here. We set our time by Jesus.
Okay.
We set our date by Jesus. This is a pivotal moment in history. This is the moment that Jesus took the weapon of death and crushed it.
Right.
He took the weapon of death and redeemed it. This is the this was the hope of Satan. This was his big plan. He was so cool. He had it down. But the hope of Satan was crushed under the heel of Jesus' resurrection. Life and death, hope and freedom, joy and peace were all purchased at this moment. Without this moment in history, Jesus would have remained trapped in history as a nice historical figure. Did some cool stuff. That was awesome. But he'd have been stuck. Don't you know, just as the grave couldn't hold him, neither can time. Neither can death. With his resurrection, he proved his power over time and the physical world right along with it. The story of Jesus' death and resurrection, it isn't just a story that's supposed to make you feel better. This is a historical event that's been proven time and again. He walked up out of the grave and brought with him the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He purchased freedom with his life and then in turn offered real life to us.
Right.
This isn't just a feel-good story. It's a history-altering event. This is a life-changing event. So why do we spend so much time looking for the living among the dead? Let me try to say this again. Why do we spend so much time living among the dead? Why do we spend so much time living like the dead? It's a good question. Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here.
He ain't there.
He's risen.
Exactly. Come on.
Now, if they would have just read Matthew and Mark, they'd already known that. But we're in Luke today, so they didn't have that perspective. Dad jokes? Come on, y'all. Y'all got to help me out today. That's all right. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Y'all, this should cause us to live a victorious and joy-filled life that's contrary to the world. Completely contrary. You know why there's no hope all over the place? There's in Jamaica, why there's so little hope? There's a lack of Jesus. Just a lack of Jesus. I know that's the church answer. What's the answer? It's Jesus. Of course it is. It's because he always has been and always will be the answer. Y'all, but we don't live like we actually have victory in Jesus. We don't live like Jesus actually walked up out of that grave. Instead, we continually look for hope and life in dead places.
Come on.
Let me give you an example, okay?
Yeah, come on.
That new job won't fulfill you. That's why they're called dead-end jobs. See, I got a couple of giggles that one. Thank you. I'll be here all day. No, I won't. I love you. What about that new car? That new car won't make you happy. It's guaranteed to break at some point. Guaranteed. Not only will it break, but in 12 months or less, a newer, better version model will come out.
Right. That's so true.
Mm-hmm.
So
true. Mm-hmm. Okay. What about that new relationship?
Ooh.
That ain't going to sustain you.
Yeah.
You know why? People will let you down. Men, women, and children. Guaranteed to let you down. No matter what. That new relationship won't sustain you. That new experience won't enable you to maintain the emotional high that you're chasing. Skydiving, one of the greatest adrenaline rushes you'll ever have. The free fall is what, 10 seconds? It's awesome though. But you can't live up there. You can't live in that free fall. It won't fulfill you. True fulfillment and purpose come only through a relationship with Jesus. As our life ebbs and flows, we're going to have those mountaintop skydiving moments that are awesome. We're also going to have those other moments when we're doing good just to take another step.
Talk about it. Yeah, come on now.
Me and Shay, I like that. Great. It's not about the job or the car or the experience. It's about finding peace and contentment and real life within Jesus. So why are we looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He's risen.
Yeah, that's good. That part.
It's just that easy. I wonder if we've been spending our lives living among the dead or living like the dead. If the people you allow to hold influence on your life aren't pushing you to Jesus, they're pushing you to death. They're pushing you off that cliff. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the
life.
Thank you. So anything other than Jesus is not life, which means it is
death.
If the people in your life aren't pushing you to Jesus, they're pushing you to death. Are we living among the dead? Are we living like the dead? Or are we living in real life with Jesus? Y'all, Jesus took that death that was offered to him. And he just walked through it. Like, this doesn't happen. I don't know if you know that or not. This is impossible. But this is what he did. He willingly laid down his life. He died. He was flatlined for 3 days. And then he just got up.
Yep.
Like he was taking a nap. He just got up. He walked through death so we could have abundant life. Life more abundantly. Not life like the dead. Although, how many of you know you're going to have to spend some time living life among dead things?
Yeah.
Among dead people.
Yeah.
I know we don't like that because we love people. We love everybody. Jesus loves everybody. It's our job to love everybody. I get that. But when you're not living in Jesus, you're living as a dead person. You're walking towards death. And that's probably not the most feel-good sermon on Easter Sunday, y'all, but the Word of God sometimes don't make you feel good. Sometimes you let that Holy Spirit come in and convict you of how you've been living like a dead person when you've been called and chosen to live a life more abundantly. More abundantly. Don't let the influence of others lead you astray. Surround yourself with those who encourage you and guide you and uplift you towards Jesus. It's time to live among the living.
Come on.
Do you know why coming to church is vital for us? Because when we get around living things, we feed off of life. Life gives birth to life. Death gives birth to death. I don't want to birth any death, dead things. I want to be around people who are full of life, full of the joy of the Lord. I want to be around people who know what real peace looks like, because in my crazy mind, I let things just run around and basically I'm causing anxiety on my own mind, okay? That's what I'm doing. We'll be honest about it. So I like to be around people who have that calm presence about them, because they know who Jesus is. They know who sits on the throne. They know whose plan will work out in the end. And it's Jesus. Jesus teaches us an incredible principle about death and life in the book of John, chapter 12. Let me read 23 through 25 for us real quick. The hour has come, Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now, Jesus is good enough at communicating that he doesn't ever just say what he's saying. Like sometimes he does. But I can't imagine. We talk about this in youth sometimes. It would be really frustrating to have a conversation with Jesus. Because if you read the gospel, like, you ask him a question, and he answers the question you should have asked. And then you have to figure out, okay, what question, what it should.
That's right.
Jesus, come on. But he's really good at what he does, okay? That's why he's Jesus. But he's speaking on multiple levels here. Three of them which I can see, all right? It's like have you seen the movie Inception? It's like a dream within a dream. It's a super cool movie, right? It's like a lesson, a story within a story within a story. So that's what Jesus is doing here, okay? He's saying, let me tell you how the kingdom of God works. Let me teach you a spiritual principle that will unlock life and open your eyes to see what is really happening here, okay? So let's hit verse 24 again. It says, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But dies, produces many seeds. All right, first level, Jesus is saying what he's saying, okay? Just one seed. Simple illustration from a very common element in life. They're very agrarian, culture grew up in Bible times, and so they know what a seed was supposed to do, what it's supposed to produce, okay? And so in and of itself, a single seed is, well, kind of pointless. It doesn't do anything. But when it's put in the right conditions, it produces a harvest. When it's fed, when it has nutrients, when it has the right stuff, it produces a harvest. It multiplies exceedingly and abundantly, more than we could ever hope for or imagine. Mm-hmm. Something like that. That seed experiences death because we know that when a seed is buried, I mean planted and watered, it grows. It's pretty easy. You plant a seed, something grows. One little seed, when put in the right circumstance, can produce an incredible harvest. Level number two. Story number two. Jesus is saying, I am this seed. I am about to plant myself in the ground. I am about to lay down my life for you. This is me. My death is necessary in order for resurrection to occur. That was a deep thought, and I think it went over our heads. Do y'all understand? Nothing can be resurrected if it doesn't first die.
Come on now.
That's not a deep thought. I just wanted to make sure we got that, okay? Jesus died willingly, walked into the grave, and then walked back out. That just doesn't happen. Jesus is saying the result of my death will bring life to the world. I'll lay down my life so you don't have to. He's saying, I'm going to lay down my life so you can have life. He said, I'm going to lay down my life because your life wouldn't cover the cost. Jesus is using this simple parable to illustrate there's no glory without suffering. He's saying there's no fruit without death. There's no life without death. There's no victory without surrender. This is just completely upside down to what we to what we learn in our physical world. How are you going to win if you surrender? That doesn't make any sense. Jesus says to lose your life is to find it. To lay down your life is to gain it. Paul said, for me to live, well, that's just Christ. It's not me, it's Christ. But for me to die, now that is great gain. That doesn't make any sense unless you've experienced spiritual death first. The death of Jesus was not just another event limited to a particular time and place. It was a cosmic event that forever changed the world. So we've got two levels down. We've got one more to go. The first level, it's just a seed, goes underground, produces a plant. Cool. Very straightforward. I like that stuff. And then Jesus gets deep on us and he says, okay, I am the seed. I'm going to go into the ground and I will produce a major harvest. And then level number three. And this is kind of where a lot of us get stuck. We kind of read ourselves into the Word of God instead of letting the Word of God read itself into us. You and I are the little seed. Your life is a single seed. And I got to tell you, as long as you hold on to it, I don't know that I can get a single one out of this. These are tiny. Can I tell you a funny story? I brought an illustration this morning with me. I brought one with me. Brought an apple. No, nobody ate it. I just needed a seed. Cut the apple in half.
No.
There were no seeds. I dug out the middle. Nothing. There was like barely even an apple core.
Wow.
I know. It was a great apple. But there were no seeds in it.
Make it preach.
How many do you know? How many of y'all know that what looks good on the outside might be hollow on the inside?
How many of you
know that the moment that they covered, that they rolled that stone in front of Jesus, they were setting him up for the biggest comeback in the world? They thought they had that seed buried. That was an empty tomb. The moment that they covered it up, they lost sight of him, and he was ready to walk out. He walked into hell, whooped Satan's butt, stole the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and walked back out. That grave was empty long before they shut the door. That apple was empty long before I knew it. Hey, our life is a seed, okay? Our life is a single seed. And as long as it stays here in my hand, in my control, it's gonna do nothing. Nothing. Now I wonder if I put the proper condition here in my control, if it will still grow. Well, let's just see if we can figure this out. All right? It's good water, okay? But everybody knows plants need water to grow, right? Okay, so. You see anything? Here, Josh, you want to zoom in? Do you see any growth yet on the camera? No? Okay, great. Maybe we don't just need one element. Maybe we need a little bit more. Good soil. Maybe we even mix it up. We saturate. It's a church word. Let's saturate our lives. The good stuff. Now I'm just making mud. The dark pants, it'll wash. You see any growth yet?
No?
No growth? No. Because as long as you and I hold on to control of our own lives, we are living like the dead. This produces nothing. We will walk around as dead people looking for a grave. On the other hand, oh yeah, thank you. Should have thought through that a little bit. When we have the good sense to recognize that apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. By the way, that's a direct quote from Jesus. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You take your seed. Come here, little seed. There you go. Everybody know the brevity of your life and how small you actually are compared to reality or eternity. But here's what happens, okay? Maybe we show up at an Easter service and someone illustrates very well how to place your life, your single seed, in the right condition. Ooh, that felt good. Maybe you even got the Holy Spirit goosebumps falling on you today. I love me some Holy Ghost goosebumps, man. I love to feel it. I'm an emotional person. I love to feel the presence of God. Y'all know feeling doesn't dictate presence. Mm-hmm. Feelings dictate emotion. I love to feel the presence of God. But sometimes when I'm just reading my Bible at my table at home when nobody else is awake, I don't feel it. But those are the moments we grow. So we take our life and we place it in the proper condition. On that Easter Sunday morning, maybe we even heard a podcast like, ooh, that was good. I'm gonna give it all to Jesus. It's good. It felt good. Well, can we define what the proper condition is real quick? Somebody tell me a good condition for you to grow spiritually. Somebody tell me something. A small group. Yes. Wonderful. What? Someone else said something.
Prayer.
What a great idea. Fasting. Another great idea.
Worship.
Someone on this side of them. Y'all help me out.
Time
in the Word. What'd you say? Read your Bible daily. Great. Somebody, anything else?
Surrounding yourself
with living people. Can I change it for you? Living people. There we go.
Living.
Like-minded believers. I love it. These are great conditions for spiritual growth. They're disciplines. Most of what we just said are spiritual disciplines. I will tell you, when you begin a new discipline, it actually feels like discipline.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
But then it becomes joy. It becomes rhythm. It becomes health and life and growth. Okay, so we found the podcast of the guy. And we showed up at Easter Sunday and we put our life in the proper condition. Man, that felt good. I love it. I'm gonna lay it there. But then before we like high five and walk out the door, we take it back. back in our pocket. This is mine. I can't fully surrender. I just can't do that. Maybe we get a quick dose of Jesus and we think we're good for a minute. A quick dose of Jesus will do you a lot of good. It doesn't matter where you are in your spiritual journey. It will do you a lot of good. We tell people all the time, hey, come get you some Jesus, put some extra in your pocket and take him home with you. Like, it's just, you need more Jesus than you already have. I'll just tell you, I love you, but I want to tell you, you need more Jesus. It's really easy, okay? So when we surrender, we drop it in, we get that little extra dose of Jesus, and we walk out with a residual anointing on our lives. And then our pride starts to creep in. This is probably not y'all. Y'all are righteous saints. Y'all probably don't roll like I do. But then I kind of get cocky. I'm like, ooh, I got this thing figured out. Uh-oh. Man, oh man, I'm good now. But what happens is I've removed my life from the proper conditions for growth. And if it ain't growing, it's dying. I stop living among the dead, and I'm starting to live like the dead. By myself, I will kill everything in my life. I will destroy it. It will die. And so will yours. After a while, life gets hard, and we begin to recognize, you know, how desperate we truly are for a touch from God. So we run back to the altar and, okay, God, I'm surrendering. I got you. I'm surrendering again. We return to the proper conditions. But the problem is we have such a short attention span. We have such a hard time remaining in the presence of God long enough for our roots to set in. And so we keep bouncing our little seed of life from me to God, from me to God. I'm living like the dead. I'm actively killing my life. Jesus says very simply, and this is actually where the name of our church comes from. It's my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. He says, remain in me. And I also will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine, in the proper conditions. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branch. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Every ounce of production that comes from our lives is directly tied to the relation to the vine, to the relation to the proper conditions. The moment that we remove our life from those conditions, we start dying. All production fades away. You can't expect a broken off branch to produce what the vine is producing. It just doesn't happen. The only proper condition for growth and harvest and fruit in our life, real life in our life, is to remain in the vine. Remain in proper conditions. But it seems to me that we would rather live like the dead and live among the dead and play this balancing act because it's familiar. It's comfortable. Yeah. I'm going to come to church and I'm going to check off my box. Uh-huh. I'm going to do my one good thing per week. Yeah. Got it. I'm even gonna say my salvation prayer. I'm even gonna get baptized next week. By the way, if you want to get baptized, we would love to dunk you. It's such an amazing celebration. Like, can you put that number back up for me? Text us if you have questions about it. You want to be baptized? Maybe you were baptized as a kid and you want to dedicate your adult life to the Lord. Come on, this is such a big deal. Baptism is not salvation. Yeah. It's a major step. But it's not salvation. When we remove ourselves from the proper conditions, we just die. So we're balancing between living among the dead and living like the dead. It's familiar and comfortable. Can I just tell you that it is very uncomfortable to die to yourself? You really begin to learn how strong your opinions are when you try to ignore them. Yeah. Ever wanted a bowl of cereal before? Yeah. I love some cereal. Some Cap'n Crunch?
Yeah, Cap'n
you slip in the Cap'n Crunch berries? Mmm. It's corn. It's a vegetable, right?
Something like that.
You really begin to learn how powerful your own ego is when you try to set it aside. When you actively try to get people not to notice you and not to look at you, you really begin to understand how big your pride is, how big your ego is. Yeah. It's very difficult to die to yourself. Jesus says, take up your cross daily. Carry that burden daily and follow me. Carry that burden daily and follow me. Jesus didn't die so we could just live mediocre, wish-washy lives. He died so that we could live life more abundantly. But church, let me tell you, life more abundantly requires the proper conditions.
Yeah.
Almost every sermon I've ever preached my whole life, I talk about reading the word and prayer. You want to know why? Because you can't have You can't develop deep roots in the proper condition, developing a relationship with somebody you never talked to.
Yep.
It doesn't work. Yep. If Amanda and I stopped talking right now, our marriage, our friendship, our family would disintegrate. You have to cultivate. That means to till up, to stir up the giftings that God has put in you, okay? You have to stir up and cultivate the relationship between you and God if you want to see fruit, if you want to see life more abundantly. You actually have to spend time with Jesus. We have to quit living among the dead, or we have to quit living like the dead and expecting to experience real life. It just won't work. So if you're not seeing growth, spiritual growth, if you're not seeing fruit in your life, if other people can't see the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you kind of have to ask yourself, am I even planted? Have I even been buried yet? And if I have, what am I buried in? Have I buried myself with the rest of the dead people? Or am I burying myself next to the living Jesus and letting his life walk through me? Am I even planted? John 12:25, the next verse says this, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Because of what Christ has done for you and me on the cross, through the resurrection, we get to have life. But there's this paradox of death. Okay, there's this paradox of life and death. Anyone who clutches tightly, trying to hold on to it, you're going to die. It's like having the seed in your control. The tighter you hold on to it, the quicker it dies. You begin to block out all sunlight. You begin to block out all growth potential. The tighter you cling to it, the quicker it's going to get ripped from your hands. But the opposite is whoever holds their hands up, palms up to Jesus, saying, God, this is all I have to offer. Take this. You actually gain your life. And it doesn't make sense. It's just a paradox. But it's true. When I worship, I find myself, well, y'all see me up here dancing around, jumping. Y'all, I get excited about what Jesus has done for me. Y'all may not know of everything he's brought me through, but it's worth dancing over, okay? So when I'm worshiping up here, like, I'm hands up.
Yeah.
Jesus, it's yours.
Yeah.
We get into more of a solemn moment, and it's right here. It's like, God, everything I've got, all my ideas, all my thoughts, all my hopes, all my dreams, I just pulled my mic pack out. It's all yours, God. Everything I have is yours. I'm just giving it to you. the sermon I'm supposed to be preaching in 10 minutes. God, get me out of the way. Nobody wants to hear. Nobody needs to hear more Ryan. We need to hear more Jesus.
Yeah, that's good.
So anyone who loves their life will lose it. Anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it. To pick up your life, you must lay it down. To live, you must die. To gain purpose, you must let go of your own purpose. It's just a paradox. And so today, we have to choose comfort or surrender. We have to choose life or death. Worship team, can y'all come help me out? We'll see if we can land this plane. If our life is about our self-centered, comfortable life, then we will protect our plans and our desires at all cost. Have you ever booked a flight and then, like, as you're booking the flight, it says, do you want trip insurance? I think I've only ever done that once. Amanda, we've only ever been burned on that once. But if you love your life so much, you're going to do everything you can to protect it, to ensure it. On the other hand, if we yield our lives to Jesus and let Him plant us in the proper conditions, we will never be alone. And we will always have fruit growing. Fruit is enticing to other people. It makes people want to know who you are and what you have and how you got where you have. Well, that's easy. It's just Jesus. Because He raised from the dead, now He lives in me. He can live in you. It's just easy. Ryan, how are you happy all the time? Y'all, it's not easy. It's Jesus. I guess that is easy. Why are you so full of joy? Even in the midst of trial, it's Jesus. It's life more abundantly. It has nothing to do with me and everything to do with what He did. So this morning, y'all, it's some pretty incredible news, all right? Because of the resurrection, Christ promised something incredible. Christ promises us something incredible when we die to ourselves. 1 Corinthians, Paul puts it like this in chapter 15. And if Christ had not been raised, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of sins. Great way to kick that off, huh? In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He's the first of the great harvest who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now resurrection from the dead has begun through another. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there's an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when He comes back. And after that, the end will come, when He will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. For Christ must reign until He humbles all His enemies beneath His feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Through the cross, our price has been paid. Your sins have been wiped clean. And through the resurrection, we've been given victory. We've been given hope. We've been given life. We've been given joy and peace that prospers from now until forever. Because Jesus walked up out of that grave, you don't have to live without purpose. You don't have to live like the dead, even though sometimes we will live among the dead. We get to live with abundant life. So the question today is, are you going to choose comfort or surrender? You're going to choose abundant life or abundant death. There's really no middle ground here. Either I control and kill everything, or I surrender and live abundantly. Jesus is inviting you to let go and experience the full life that he's offering, that he died for, that he rose again for. Y'all jump to your feet with me real quick. So you're here today and you're like, you know, Pastor Ryan, that all sounds all good and well. I like the part when you made mud in your hand, that was funny. And your wife got on to you for wiping your muddy hands on your pants. Hey, you know, this is real life, y'all. But if you're here today and you've not taken that first step of asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, this is the greatest decision you will ever, ever make. He paid the price for your life that your life wouldn't cover, that my life wouldn't cover. A perfect sacrifice had to be made. Jesus willingly walked to the cross, let his flesh be ripped open, and he died. The most agonizing, gruesome way you could imagine. They put him in a tomb for 3 days. And then he wasn't there anymore. He rose again. And now we celebrate Easter every year. We celebrate Jesus coming back to life. So if you're here and you're like, you know, I think I need Jesus. I'm ready. You feel the Holy Spirit pulling on your life, saying, just say yes to me. It's not manipulative wording. I'm not trying to play any games. I want you to connect with Jesus. So if you're here in this holy moment, you're like, you know what, Pastor Ryan, I need Jesus. Shoot your hand up. Let me recognize you. We're going to say a simple prayer. We're going to celebrate and we're going to move right along. There's no magic in the words that we'll say, but what happens in your heart, it's just miraculous. So if you're here and you're like, yep, I need Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. Yeah, I got you. Who else? I'll give you just 5 more seconds. Take a step of faith. It's okay. Be bold. Okay. Church, we're going to say a simple prayer. We're going to pray it together. We're going to celebrate. And then we're going to take communion as a family, okay? All right. Y'all repeat after me. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I'm giving it to you.
I'm giving it to you.
Take the seed of my life,
out of my hands.
I'm done killing it.
Plant me in proper conditions.
Guard my heart and my mind. Help me focus on you. I only want to grow the things you want to grow in me. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and my Savior. Amen. All right, church, come on, let's celebrate. That's a huge deal. That's a huge deal. All right? Gosh, that's so big. Y'all, the Bible says a party is happening in heaven right now because of this person. This is phenomenal. Woo! Get me excited today. I might start preaching again. No, I won't do that. I know we got stuff to do. That's the power of Easter Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. That the blood will never lose its power because that blood crossed from life to death and right back again. There's nowhere he left it. He brought all of that life, all of that joy, all of that peace, all of that hope, and offers it to us.
Right.
So are you going to keep your life in your own hand? Please don't. God has a mighty mighty and awesome plan for your life. It doesn't matter where you are in this stage of life. God ain't done with you yet. He wants to help you grow. You know what happens when a branch grows some fruit? When a tree grows some fruit? People eat the fruit. Can I just tell you? I just tell you, there's people in your life that need the fruit that's going to grow from you. Don't hold that seed in your hand. Give it. Surrender it. However many times you have to surrender, do it again. Y'all, I'm so excited about what God is doing. So grateful y'all are here today. If this is your first time, what's about to happen might feel different. But y'all know how we do it. Cool, let there be light. At the end of every service, we like to say something that really drives home who we are in response to who He is. So Jesus said, I'm the vine.
We are the branch.
So everywhere you go,
be